Hello and welcome to another episode of Quirky Pop. I'm Katrina Parker. Thank you for joining me today. I am very happy to have a, I call him a special guest because I've been a fan of his for years. Mr. Christopher McGraw from Evans Junior High is a local junior high that my kids have gone to. Thank you so much for joining me today, Chris.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So yeah, like seriously, like when I told my sisters, like, I'm like, I booked Mr. McGraw. I'm like, Mr. McGraw, like, Mr. McGraw. Like, you, like, you're a pretty popular guy. Like, no, seriously, like, I'm friends with just different parents from that I've met from Evans, and their kids don't even go to Evans, but they're still like liking and looking at like your posts there because it's just like so cool. You do like a really lot of cool things, and we're gonna kind of like get into that. So
yeah,
why don't you just tell us about yourself, like your background and your interest?
Absolutely. Yeah. So this will be my seventh year at Evans Junior High School, my 14th year in education. So I went to school. First, I didn't grow up in the Bloomington Normal area. I grew up in the Quad Cities. It's like 2 hours northwest of Bloomington Normal on the Mississippi River. I went to Illinois State University, and actually my major is in art education, and I have an emphasis in painting. You know, it's shocking, but not a whole lot to do with painting.
Yeah.
You know? It's one of those things that at the time, I guess I thought was a good idea, but you know, not a big demand for me to paint things. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I went into college with that art ed degree, though. I really did want to become a teacher. I come from a family of teachers. My mom is a career teacher. My aunt was a teacher as well. And I had always kind of enjoyed school. Anyways, went into the art education field, came out of it, my first teaching job was at Chittick's Junior High School in the same district I'm in now. Taught art, and I taught digital media, and I did some coaching of sports as well, just trying to be involved as much as possible. Absolutely loved it. I actually took the first job that was offered, and it was split between junior high and high school.
Oh,
because in college, I was like, man, I'm going to be a high school teacher. Like, you know, like, I probably watched too many movies where it's like the inspirational high school teacher, right?
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, I'm going to go save a bunch of kids. I'm going to be that high school teacher.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so I was split between high school and junior high my first year. And there were some coaching opportunities at that junior high. And I just fell in love with that age group. You know what I mean? Like, and so then the next year I was able to be full-time at Chittick's with the junior high. And I've never really looked back since then. I can't imagine being around a different group of kids. But about 7 years ago, still loved teaching, but I just felt like, man, I would love to like, my sphere of influence or just impact, I wanted to make bigger than just the kids that I saw every day in my classroom. So I kind of looked into administration and whatnot. And of course in my head, right, you have this like, well, this is what I would do as an administrator.
Yeah.
And then my first year as administrator, it's like smack in the face. Like, well, no, this is what an administrator does. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh man, this is a little different than I thought. Mm-hmm. But what's been fun is over the years, I've been able to mold that vision of what I wanted to be like as an administrator into reality, right? While still also juggling like what it means to be a principal, right? And like the things you have to do. It's been awesome being at Evans. Like, it's just like the dream spot to be in for me with the people that I'm surrounded with,
yeah.
The community, the families, the parents like yourself that, just kind of support us. So that's a little bit about, my background and kind of how I got into education.
Okay. So, kind of tell me like, who are your own like quirky icons?
Absolutely. So I obviously being in an, like, I went into a field, a creative field, right, of art education. And that's because, like, always growing up, I was, like, a daydreamer, super creative. Like, I have a sister that's 9 years older than me. So, like, I was kind of like an only child because, I mean, by the time I was getting into things, she was in college, she was whatever. Mm-hmm. But I could always entertain myself, right? So, like, that wasn't a big problem. I fell in love with just this idea of, like, these big characters, these larger-than-life characters growing up, you know? And so, for me, it was a lot of the cartoons of the time, right? Like He-Man, Thundercats.
Yeah.
My gosh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, like I just fell in love with these like larger than life creations. On the other side of that, I fell in love with that at that young age, like with like the WWF, right? And these professional wrestlers that like they had these larger than life characters and personas, especially at that time in the late 80s. Like they were kind of like real life superheroes, real life cartoon characters. So I love these worlds and this idea of creating these worlds, right? And these stories and just the joy that can bring others and like the way that people can get lost in those things. So through that, like, as I kept getting older, I always kind of was just hooked. I always had like one hand on that nostalgia, right? And just kind of that what that was at the time. And so as I've kind of gotten older, I've always fallen in love with, and I've always celebrated like things that I've watched or that have just demonstrate that outside the box creativity, right? And you watch a movie or you watch a show and you're like, wow, that is so creative. That storytelling's a little different, you know, that it just brings a whole nother level to it. And so, you know, for me, a lot of those icons were from my childhood. But even now, like kind of, you know, growing up, like I see, gosh, I don't know, like the show Community, I thought like was pretty, pretty iconic. And just the way they told their stories and just the way like they weren't afraid, like different episodes to be these whole other worlds, I thought was kind of neat. And I think like, you know, there's certain people out there that like, I got to be honest, like I'm not as plugged into mainstream as I used to be, like, and there's reasons for that. But like, even like when you watch some of like the late night talk show hosts, right? And like some of the way that they just have these quirky little things they do with guests and they pull people out of their shells. I think that's awesome. I'm a big fan of like anyone that's like willing to kind of like go out and show a vulnerable side of themselves because they're being silly, they're being goofy, whatever. I think that's good for people. I think that's good for people to see. So those are, I don't have like specific ones, but I kind of just, I've always been drawn to those kind of like storytellers.
Yeah. And you mentioned Community. Like originally I was like gonna do just like a straight Community episode with you, but just like with the time frame of when I wanted to do it, we couldn't quite match our schedules. But I'm looking at like your background right now, like you have like costumes in the background and it kind of reminds me of like the Dean from Community.
No.
But you take care of business. Like you're not messing up. You're a good administrator, but you wear costumes and stuff too, which is great. Well, we'll talk about the costumes more lately, we're going to kind of like move into just like you, like as like an educator. So, you know, were you always comfortable with like being your authentic self as an educator? Cause you know, it always seems like it's like a very serious role. And like, I remember when I found out that you were going to be the principal and not just a vice principal, I was like, you know, like, does this mean you're going to be serious all the time now? And you're like, no, not at all. And I'm like, oh, well, great. Yeah.
You know, I'm very fortunate. Like, I'm very fortunate in like just the way I was kind of raised, you know, and watching my mom, who definitely I get a lot of personality traits from her. She's super outgoing and, you know, was always willing to kind of like, she was involved in community theater and things like, so, I mean, she like had that persona herself of kind of like not afraid to step out and kind of be herself. So anyways, I was very fortunate growing up to kind of have that confidence instilled in me, like, you know, you can just be yourself. Now that being the case, like, don't get me wrong, right? Like the first year or so of high school, like I fell into the like, oh man, you know, what's the crowd doing? Like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know that I want to totally be who I am, but I quickly kind of broke out of that shell. And those lessons kind of growing up then of like, okay, yeah, I like athletics. I'll do athletics. But, you know, I do kind of like being on the stage too. So, like, I'm going to kind of go after that as well. And I'll try the student council, like, just kind of being like, you know, these are the things I enjoy. These are the things that, like, kind of fill my bucket. Early on, like, I just kind of pursued those things. And so for me, I guess, like, there was this whole idea of, and especially after my first couple of years being in the junior high, there's this whole idea of, like, this is a tough time for kids in general, right? Like, junior high, they're going through so much. And I don't even mean, like, externally. I just mean, like, there's puberty, there's just, like, peer pressures, whatever. And so for me, I always felt like, hey, if I can just totally exhibit to them, like, here's a grown man that, like, clearly, like, isn't too worried about what people think and isn't afraid to make a fool of himself just to make other people laugh or whatever, like, what a great, like, resource for them, or just a great kind of thing for them to see. Like, look, if he doesn't care, you know, like, what people are thinking of him in a good way, mind you, like, you know, and he's willing to be himself, then maybe that just makes them feel a little more chill and a little more relaxed, you know, being in the building. And I don't know, I also feel like that's just a really great way to help people, like, trust you, because they feel like you're being authentic, right? They're like, all right, I might not like a decision that he has to make, you know, but at the end of the day, I know that he is, you know, he's not going to be, you know, malicious in his intent, because I know he's pretty real with who he is, and he's pretty transparent out there. And so, yeah, like, I feel like that's a huge thing, that you can be your authentic self. And I think I'm a big proponent of integrity. Like, that's a big thing. And I feel like being your authentic self is a lot of, has to do with integrity as well. It's like, look, if, you know, Chris says something, then he believes it. And if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And I think it helps just make people feel comfortable too. Like, you know, if they're like, oh man, that's the guy that runs around in the inflatable eagle costume, like, you know, like, it's, hopefully it makes me more approachable.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of talk about just, like, how the different ways you connect with your students. Because over the years, I've noticed different things, like, you know, like, you'll be, like, in the production of, like, the theater, like, the one where, what was it? I think you were, like, the fairy godfather one year.
Yes.
And then you were, like, this, like, nerdy dad another year. And just, like, little things, like, for lunch. Like, I noticed that I think I was picking up one of the girls for a doctor's appointment, and you were, like, in the lunch period the whole time. And, like, I asked one of the administrative assistants, I'm like, well, you know, when do you eat lunch? When does he eat lunch? And they were like, he just kind of, like, quickly eats food, like, in between meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's, and, like, you do this for, like, all the lunch periods, and, like, the kids, like, they see you, like, every day. You're not just, like, you know, the wizard who's, like, hidden, you know, on the PA system. Yeah, you're, like, actually, like, out there among them. And, like, I think, you know, that's something, like, the kids, like, they'll really, like, appreciate that, especially, like, later on. So, like, you know, I want to throw that out there, but, like, you know, what other things, like, do you do to try to, like, make that connection since you're not, like, in the classroom all of the time?
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing for me, right? Like, I'm not, that's the biggest thing, of course, I'm going to miss not being in a classroom, right? Is that immediate connection you have with those kids. So for me, a couple things that you touched upon. Number one, like, a big thing for me is, like, greet the kids at the door, right? And COVID's made that a little crazy, because usually I try to meet the kids that come in off the buses, right? And and pre-COVID, it was very much just like, hey, good morning, you know, maybe I have some music playing, you know, whatever. And it's just greeting them at the door. Now, like, I greet half of the kids I greet at another door, and there's a certification process, blah, blah, blah. But it's still greeting the kids, right? It's still saying good morning, whatever. And then, yeah, the biggest challenge, I'm gonna be honest, the biggest challenge that I have found as being a principal is getting out and like getting in the classrooms, right? Like, cause you can get bogged down in here in the office with like busy work, right? And so a couple of like absolute anchors in my day is like passing periods, right? That's easy enough to at least get out in the main hallway. You're saying hi to kids, you know, whatever that looks like. Definitely get in the lunches. Right now, like sixth grade lunch is the one that I really try to hook into just to kind of say hi to them. And when I'm in lunches, you know, a lot of times just wandering around and it's small talk with the kids. Because, you know, it's interesting. So like the lunches, that's like their 30 minutes. That's the only 30 minutes the students really have that's theirs, right?
Yeah.
And so I try to be careful. It used to be like at lunch, it's like, hey, we're going to play a game. Hey, we're going to do this. And then after talking to the kids, this was years ago, they're kind of like, look, that's our 30 minutes. So like, we appreciate what you're trying to do. But, and so now it's a little limited that way. I do love just like trying to stop in the classrooms, you know, as much as possible. Little tricky right now, right, with COVID, like trying to be a little cautious about that. But that's another thing. And then, of course, when they leave at the end of the day, you know, I'm usually out there helping them out. The big thing here's like what I noticed. So in 2014, when I got here, I was like, hey, you know, let's start a Facebook page. Right. And at that time, like at least in Unit 5, it wasn't super common. And that was kind of a way for me to connect with parents. Right. And kind of break down the walls with families, because let's be honest, like they're not, some of them are going to visit school websites. Some aren't, you know what I mean? Social media is a much faster, better way to connect. So anyways, we were rolling with that, but the kids aren't on Facebook, right? And so like I kept kind of racking my brain and I was like, I know there's these other social media outlets, but do I really want to get caught up in some of them? And then I kind of looked into Instagram a little more and I was like, hey, I'll try that. And man, when we started our Instagram account, like that's when the students got hooked. Like that was the outlet for me to connect with our students. And I know there's other social media that's more popular right now with kids.
Yeah.
Like I totally get it, right? But I'm also trying to like be wary of like just jumping on that trend, because the other thing I know is things come and go, right? Like, like man, Snapchat, it was like, man, you got to have a Snapchat account, really? Because that's not quite as popular at this point. TikTok, nope. Like we're good right now because I can get, that's a nice connection I can have with the kids. In terms of me communicating with them, it's more of a one-way street and I'm totally cool with that. Like I'm not looking for those to be the way that I'm like doing two-way communication, but at least that's a way for kids to feel connected to our building, because our social media is an extension of who we are. It's not necessarily like an informative, like, hey, basketball practice tonight. It's more like an extension of our personality.
Yeah.
It should be an extension of like, this is a dumb term, but like the brand, right? Of like Eagle Nation. And it should just be like a place that kids can quickly check, maybe puts a smile on their face. Maybe it just kind of keeps them in the loop of what's going on. And I have found that has been a huge way for me to stay connected to kids that maybe I never see in this building. Right. And I will say, like, I'm so happy because the groundwork we laid with all that social media years ago, man, that has been so beneficial this year when we have some kids that haven't been back in the building at all, right? They're fully remote. And thank goodness we have some of those things already built. But the connection with the kids, that is like, that's the heart and soul for me. Like, because I don't know, like that's what I think has made this year so complicated, because you don't get as much of that for totally fine reasons. But that's the heart of soul and soul of like why, what helps me be authentic, what helps me kind of like do what I do. It's being connected to them.
Yeah. So tell me, like, how are you able to balance everything? Because you do so much. Like it's like you're doing more than, I feel like you're like doing more than what the role requires. And then, you know, after school, you're like, oh, let's do the Promise Council. And then the other things, and then you gotta like go home at the end of the day to your own family and still have like some energy left for them. So like, how do you try to balance that?
That's an awesome question. I'm still figuring it out. But like I've finally, you know, what is it, 14 years into being in education, 7 years in being an administrator, I finally have drawn a hard line of like, hey, you know, I'm not going to check email at night. I'm not going to check email over the weekend. That's helped, right? Because then I'm not letting my email dictate my day and my mood or whatever. Everything I said about social media, that's amazing. That's another trick, though. because the social media is, I mean, that's a 24/7 cycle, as we know. And mm-hmm. so I have to be cautious with that, because I can get caught up in like checking that or trying to like stay updated on that even after school hours. And so I got to be, that's the other thing that I have to be like very cautious of, because that can zap my energy pretty quickly if I'm constantly worried about like, hey, should I post something? Should I not? So
yeah.
I've had to try to draw some hard lines, like, hey, when work is done, and for me, that's, you know, 3:45, 4, depending on, like you said, if there's an after school meeting, work is done for the day.
Okay.
I'm a morning person. And so I don't feel like guilty about that, because I get here pretty early before the school day, because my family's not awake, right? And they're getting ready for school. So I don't feel guilty that I've like taken time away from them in the morning. But then when like nighttime, like everyone is awake and like, you know, that's family time, then I can give them that time and not, and I don't have to like feel pressured about that. But honestly, like in the mix of the school day, that's like I talked about getting in the classroom. That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so hard, is like balancing all those responsibilities. Cause to me, it's like priority number one is, yeah, let's get in the cafe. Let's have some goofy interactions with others. But honestly, you know, like the district and my job would dictate, well, no, really a priority is like some of these other things that you need to get done. So I'm still figuring that piece out a little bit, but the personal professional time, like I'm getting much better at.
Okay.
And I find like I'm better here in the day if I do manage, right, better my work-life balance. Because if I'm working all night, when I come back here the next morning, I'm already drained, right?
Yeah.
And like, I don't have anything to give to the students. So it's been much better this year, because I think this year has forced all of us to like figure out that work-life balance a little better, because work and life have blended terribly in some ways because we're working from home or like, you know, different things.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So I want to talk to a little bit about your characters. So there's like the Elf on the Shelf, which I love. Like, it's just so hilarious. Like, there's so many cool little videos of you like appearing, and like Caitlin, she's going to kill me for saying this, but she's like actually scared of the Elf on the Shelf. I'm like, you know, that's Mr. McGraw, right? Like, he's not going to bite you. She's just like, he looks too creepy, Mom. I can't deal with it. I hope he doesn't come to my class. But I don't know, maybe because we didn't really do Elf on the Shelf when they were little, but yeah. I thought it was funny. Like, just like you popping up, and kudos to you and your agility and be able to move around like that. Like, I have a new ACL. I can't hop around like that anymore. And you're still like all over the place.
Yeah. No, so like the McElf on the Shelf, man, like that is, I feel like every year I keep tiptoeing that fine line between super creepy and super creepy, where parents are like, all right, time out. Like, this guy's creepy. And silly. Like, that's been so fun, because I think like it's like, I don't know, like the teachers enjoy it and the kids, like, here's the great thing about Evans. We do these little videos and you got the Elf in the Shelf, and then this inflatable eagle costume has like kind of turned into a life of its own where like the kids like kind of, I don't know, enjoy seeing that. But anyway, so like we record these things, we put it out there on social media, and like the best responses I get from my friends or family or other people, they're like, hey, did you like tell the kids like not to react to it or whatever? Cause they're just like doing their thing.
Yeah.
And it just makes me smile. And I'm like, no, kids at Evans, it's not weird to them. Like, they don't, like, they're just like, yep, there he goes. Oh, yep. Someone needs attention again. There he is. You know what I mean? And I love that. I love that the students at our school are just like, yeah, that's our principal. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, that's great. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it goes back to kind of like what I was talking about. I just growing up and even now, like I just love these like characters, and I just love the idea of this like creating this not make-believe world, but kind of like you're just creating this fun environment, right? And you're kind of going outside the box of what people expect. And that makes, in my mind, and so far, it seems like it helps people, like, they laugh, or like it makes them feel comfortable because they see this, like, man, that's not how a principal should act.
Yeah. You
know, or like that. I wasn't expecting that. And so, like, that's just what I think makes it so fun. And it's so much fun for me. Like, that's the other thing. It's not like fake where I'm like forcing myself to do it, you know? And when COVID hit and we all had to be home last spring, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm going to do these morning announcements. And after a while they took a life on their own. And I really just started like, I mean, I thought I was losing my mind. Like they got more and more elaborate.
Yeah.
But like with that, again, it's like, for me, it's so much fun. Just that idea of make-believe and just that idea of like creating these worlds that like when I can find that opportunity. And so of course, Halloween every year is a great time for me because it's like, oh yeah, like what are we doing this year? Like, what are we dressing up as? And 1 year, I think it was either 2 years ago or whatever, I dressed up as a junior high kid. And like that got a really good response. And so every now and then, like, but like I'll pull that back out, you know, and the staff love it. They think it's hilarious. And like, of course the kids, like they think it's funny, but they're half insulted because like, I'm half like being funny and I'm half kind of insulting the way junior high kids act, you know? So like, they love that interaction. But yeah, like, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just the, when I do those things, it really is a way to like lighten the mood, first of all, right? And a lot of times it's like, hey, you know, this is February is a good example, right? October and February are just those times of the school year and the rhythm of a school year that people are just like kind of like sludging through it. You know what I mean? Like the excitement of the beginning of a semester is over and the end isn't quite very near yet. And so maybe that's a time to break something out, right? Where it's like unexpected and it's like, what is going on? And it may bring a little smile to someone's face. And so that's when like some of that's going to start happening. But also just, I don't know, you know, you see things either through pop culture or different things. And in my head, and this is just like how my brain works. Like I'll see something and I'll be like, hey, how can that play out? You know, like in a school setting, you know, like up on a shelf, right? Like how can I play that out? Like what? And the problem for me is like, there's no like idea too big, right? It's like, oh, that'd be so crazy if I did that. Hey, I'm going to do that. You know?
See, and that's why I thought that 1 year, it was like the first day of school or like the first week of school, there was like this fire truck and the ladder was like up really high. And I was like, and I was telling my kids, I'm like, oh, I bet Mr. McGraw's going to climb up there. Just watch to see. And like, I asked her, I'm like, are you climbing up there? You were like, no. I'm like, no. Okay, you have your limits. Okay, that's good.
Easy. Those limits are getting less and less, right, the longer I go. But yeah, but like, I mean, that's just a lot of it, just kind of looking and pulling ideas. And, you know, and that's where I get some of my energy from as well. Like, you kind of just look and see things out there and you're like, man, how can we make that happen here, right? And honestly, now it's getting bad because now the kids kind of come up to me and they're like, you should do this, you should do that. And it's like, oh man, challenge accepted.
Yeah. You know?
So, but yeah, I don't know. For me, it's just creating that experience, right? Like for kids, especially at this age, because this can be such a difficult age, more so than ever. Like just, I don't know. With social media and now with just kind of, you know, with the pandemic and how people are dealing with that, it's just a way to like bring some levity, you know, to everything.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this one character I saw. I call him like 90s guy because like, he was just like talking all about the different 90s. Like, was that like your decade?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like 90s would have been like when I was in junior high. And so 90s for me is like, yeah, a lot of like the nostalgia and the things even in my office, like are throwbacks to like, man, those 90s, because that for me was like the prime of, you know, being a weird kid.
Uh-huh. Were you a weird kid? Or were you like...
No, I mean, I was my own kid. So, okay. That's probably weird enough. Yep.
So, you kind of touched on it already, but I kind of want to just talk about like your experience with being a principal during, especially like during the start of the pandemic, when there were so many like unknowns, like, yeah, you know, like when you first got that call, like, okay, we're going remote, like, you know, what were like your initial like thoughts, as an educator?
For me, like my thoughts, because like, for me, like the community aspect, right? Like, mm-hmm. like that idea that of Eagle Nation, like my initial thoughts were like, man, how do we stay connected? That was like, my first thought was like, mm-hmm. how do we still make everyone feel that they are a part of this family? Like, how do we take care of them? My thoughts also went to my staff. Like, how do I take care of them? How do I help them through this? What can I do to like make this easier for them? And this entire time, like those two things honestly have like still been at the forefront of my mind. Number one, the staff and their like self-care, their social, their emotional, like well-being, mm-hmm. like, and then to the students and families, those same things. Like, obviously, like learning and academics is extremely important. That is like more or less what I'm supposed to like be most concerned with. But like for me during all of this, it has been like people's well-being, mm-hmm. like, and really just that mental piece, right? And that mental aspect of it. Like a lot of this has turned into, because there is so much unknown, a lot of this has turned into kind of this cheerleading aspect where it's like, I got to try to keep people like, motivated or at least be there to hear their concerns and like validate their feelings, no matter if it's the kids, the families, the staff. Like that for me has been my main focus, right? And then when we see we're in good spots with that, then maybe we try to push a little that academic piece forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing, like especially when it happened, was like, how do I keep this school community feeling connected, feeling safe? And so like my thoughts immediately turned to be as transparent as possible, right? Like especially the initial stages, everyone was clamoring for like, what does this mean? What does this look like? What is going to happen? The hardest part about this is, in being a leader of anything, is there are no definitive answers. Like there is no answer like, well, is this going to happen, you know, in a week or 2 weeks? It's like, I can try to find out. And typically that answer that I hear is like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. So then I got to turn around and like, and that's what's causing anxiety for everybody, is so much of that we don't know, right? There is no like, hey, on this date, everything's going to go back to normal. Like there is no date right now. And what we think is the date gets pushed back or this suddenly is changing.
Mm-hmm.
So like for me, my main priorities have been like, being as connected as possible, being as transparent as possible, trying to over communicate as much as possible. Because I feel like everyone feels a little better when they feel like they know as much as they can at that moment. It doesn't mean we can answer everyone's questions, but that just, I don't know, like the feedback I get from families and staff is they appreciate that. Awesome. Then the next piece is, how do we stay as connected as possible? And that's where the social media aspects have been huge for us at Evans,
mm-hmm.
Because we can use social media for that. Trying to be smart and be connected as possible, like, you know, physically, whether that's through school. Back in the summer, you know, we tried to like go to neighborhoods and be connected with families. But still, like, I don't know. It's like, man, we worked so hard to build this community at Evans and to build this culture. It's like, I don't want the pandemic to have us take a couple steps backwards. And so there's been an extra push on my end, whether it's through video or social media, to like stay connected, stay involved with us, you know, keep checking. Mm-hmm. And that's been like the biggest piece. And that's also been the hardest piece too, because that takes a little more work, right? Like that falls on a little more work, but COVID for me has been absolutely about like the well-being of our family, students and staff. And that means a lot more like cheerleading and kind of, I don't know, lifting up, right? A little more like searching motivational quotes or like, like it's been a lot more of that. But again, looking at mainstream, looking at pop culture, hey, how are, what messages are they getting out to people? You know, what are ways that they're trying to, you know, stay connected with people, and then saying, okay, how can I take that and infuse that into kind of a school setting, you know? And so that's been, you know, live streaming different things, in our school building, and finding ways to be connected that way.
Yeah. I will say, I have to tell you, like, during like the start of the pandemic and you would like have like all the videos, it was like something that I myself like look forward to. And I was like, hey, did you guys see, like, did you guys see what he did today? It was just like, you know, very encouraging, like with the things that you were saying and just like continually to like connect everyone through all the craziness. Cause like, I know, like, especially in the first part, I was just so like overdoing it with, cause like, I didn't really know what was right. I was like, I'm washing my groceries and I'm like, I go shopping and then I'm like, I jump in the shower. Like, I didn't know what to do. And it was just, it added on so much more stress just on me, like as a person, as a parent. So like, that was just like something nice that I can kind of like say, hey guys, look at this. Let's look at this together. Look at Mr. McGraw being silly.
That's, you know what? That's like super kind of you to say, like, because it's, you know, it's so interesting. Like when you are making digital content, right? You just kind of throw it out there and you have no idea. I mean, yeah, there's like likes, right? That you can like see. And of course there's like how many people have viewed it or whatever as you make digital content. But you really don't know. I mean, you're just making stuff and you're throwing it out there and you don't know what impact it's having. And you know, that's not the reason you should make, you know, like as, you know, someone that obviously likes to create things, that shouldn't be the reason you're creating things. For me, like, for me, it's the audience of one. Like for me, it's like, hey, if that makes me laugh, I'm glad I made it. You know what I mean? Like, so that's super kind. That's super nice to hear. And I'm glad to hear that. Like, it really is about just trying to like, man, try to keep us connected as best we can, because I truly believe like that we have something special through Evans, you know, and I believe there's a lot of really special people that like help to create that environment and help to create that culture. And if we can help our families and students and each other as a staff, that's the most important thing. Cause I'm just as, I mean, selfishly, I'm gleaning off of that as much as possible too. Right. To kind of help keep me going through some of the days in that. So that's awesome to hear. Thanks for sharing that.
So I kind of wanted to move into like your love of cartoons. Cause some of the announcements that you do, I'll see different things in the background. Like one day it was like, He-Man. I wanted to get like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff. And you know, you were just talking about like how you like those episodes. And I have to know, like, have you like actually like gone back to like actually watch some of these shows? And if so, like, what are your thoughts? Because like some things for me, I'm like, okay, I can watch this some more. And other things I'm like, oh, this, who wrote this? This is awful.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Like, so, okay. So I'm a big, like, Easter egg fan, right?
Okay.
Like all our our social media posts and like different things, I like to, again, the audience of one, just to make me laugh. Like I'll drop things in images or like morning announcements, I'll throw something on the screen just to see if anyone even catches it, right? So like I love that you caught like, hey, I see what you're doing there, you know what I mean? But for me, it was He-Man, right? Okay, so I started out a huge He-Man fan, moved into Thundercats, and then Ninja Turtles were definitely like the main staples. I did fall in love with X-Men, the animated series.
Oh, I love that. A little
bit. But here's the thing, I gotta be honest. Like I have gone back and watched some of that. And like, I don't know. Some of it, like, I feel doesn't age super well. Like, like some of it, it's like, you know what? I'm going to keep it up here the way I remembered it. You know, like, there's a piece when you watch some of those, it's the nostalgia of, like, mm-hmm. the flood of memories of like what life was like for me mm-hmm. while I was watching that I enjoy. But like He-Man, I think it's just all right. Like now that I watch it, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to catch it as much. X-Men, I still think the story, like, it's like, man, the writing of that animated series, it's like, man, that's pretty timeless where you could like mm-hmm. go back and touch into where like, you know, some current events or different things. I feel mm-hmm. like the animation is it's a little harder to watch because it's just not as, you know, I mean, animation now is what it is. Mm-hmm. So like for some of those Ninja Turtles, I did watch some of those and I don't know. I think I was so in love with it that like that totally I could still watch and sit back and laugh and enjoy. But you know, like the having kids, like I'm kind of watching some of their like what they're watching right now. And I'm going to tell you, like, the show that I have fallen in love with that just makes me laugh out loud is Teen Titans Go. Like, that show kills me. Like, I don't know. Like, because here's why. It's like, okay, clearly whoever writes that, like, is somewhere in the same age range as me. Mm-hmm. Because we're dropping 80s references. We're, mm-hmm. like, there's just a lot going on there that it does make me kind of laugh. And just watching that. And so my older boys and I, like we sit and we definitely kind of just laugh at some of the ridiculousness that goes on in that show. Now, that being said, like, we're not big, like we aren't like also tied into as much like that DC universe with Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. So we might not have like the opinions of someone that liked Teen Titans because I know like there's that kind of thing that Teen Titans Go is kind of, you know, what it's done to the Teen Titans brand. Mm-hmm. But for someone just like with that kind of quirky, just like humor, I don't know. Like I sit and I do kind of laugh at it. So that's one that I definitely have kind of, it's one cartoon that I can watch right now that I, with my boys that I do kind of laugh at. So.
Okay. Definitely. I remember, in my human development program, they were talking about how like in the 80s, they kind of made cartoons to more so just product to make products and stuff. So like the storyline wasn't really that important. And when you're a kid, you don't really realize that what they're saying doesn't make sense. You're just like, oh, this is cool. I like this. Mm-hmm. And I want these toys. I want this Jim and the Holograms toy. Yep. I want this He-Man toy. So I had like Caitlin watch, cause like she likes the new She-Ra show that's out. And I was like, well, have you seen? Oh, and she was like, yeah, I saw one episode. And she's like, not so much. Like, that's fair.
Yep.
That's fair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is, I mean, that's the thing. Cause like I pulled up some of the old stuff for my kids to watch. Right. And yeah, they just were not, and now part of it for them is the visuals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, okay. Yeah, I get it. Like the visuals aren't going to compete with the visuals you're watching now, but like, I don't know. There's something like, it's like, yeah, but that's like, you got to appreciate the history of like mm-hmm. cartoons as well.
Yeah.
Like the talent and skill that it took to create, even though the visuals aren't as fluid or whatever, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, but so we've had those conversations in my house.
Yeah. There's some things that they do like, so like I got them into the Animaniacs before the new series came out.
Yeah.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Yep. They know all of that. So like they're excited that like John Mulaney is gonna be in the newer one that's coming out with Disney Plus and stuff. So I've tried to like introduce to the Sundays and Sundays are like, okay, this is great. But like she was not feeling the She-Ra. And like I definitely understand.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to move into that one episode of the Community, G.I. Jeff. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Yeah. This one podcast that I listened to, Six Seasons in a Podcast, with Alex, he was like talking about how he loves the episode, but he feels like a lot of younger fans of Community, they don't quite get the references in the G.I. Joe episode because they're just like, what is this? But I'm around that age, so I enjoyed it. So like, what were your thoughts on G.I. Jeff?
Oh my gosh. Like for me, that's where like the story, like I wasn't even interested in the story. For me, it was like, oh my gosh, they are hitting mm-hmm. like the way that it was drawn. They were hitting like just, even just the way the dialogue was being given, like, I thought they hit that almost perfect. The mm-hmm. sound effects, like, man, G.I. Joe had a very specific gun sound, right? Like,
okay.
And they were hitting on that. Like, it was just some of the, like, for me, it was the visuals. It was like, oh, they are nailing this. And that's what made me just, you're right. Because, like, I was watching it with my wife. Mm-hmm. We were watching Community together, but she didn't like watch G.I. Joe growing up. And so mm-hmm. she thought it was fine. And she kind of got what they were trying to do. She understood it was a throwback. She understood that. But for me, who like had a VHS at my grandma's house of G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was just dying, like, oh my gosh, this is exactly, you know, kind of what it was like. And I love that. Like, for me, if you're gonna go and you're gonna kind of do a callback. Or mm-hmm. something, like, make it authentic, right? Like, put those little things out there for those of us that did grow up with it that yeah. were like, man, that's good. Like, that's really good. Because otherwise, mm-hmm. like, you can kind of tell when it's just like a cheap, like, okay, yeah, we're trying to like mm-hmm. throw back or whatever. But no, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Did you have, like, because like you mentioned, like, the gunshots, I didn't even realize that. Like, I've seen a couple yeah. episodes of G.I. Joe, like, I'm from the Chicago area, and we had like the Bozo Super Show, and they would show like cartoons
yep.
and they G.I. Joe was like one of the cartoons that they would show.
Yeah. Like for me, like there was no particular like scene in general, but it mm-hmm. was they really, I felt like hit kind of the whole feel, from the audio to the visuals, to the animation of what G.I. Joe at that time was like. You know, and of course, like, you know, the message at the end, you know, I thought it was pretty phenomenal, because, you know, because I forgot they did that. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. There was always like a moral message to every show. And like Captain mm-hmm. Planet, you know, is another one that like would hit
yeah.
you. Now Captain Planet was more, I think, based, I think it was a little more like
the environment,
like the environment.
Yeah.
But I forgot, like, oh my gosh, that's right. Shows used to do that. Shows mm-hmm. used to give you that public service announcement at the end. So I thought that was pretty awesome, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, because like there's those things too, like Transformers, that's another cartoon, and that the movie that came out way back then, that Transformers animated movie that came out, I was a huge fan of that. But like Transformers, like if you're going to do a throwback, if a show were to do a throwback to Transformers and they don't have that specific sound when they transform.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you're not even a fan. Like, you're not even a fan. Like, you weren't even a fan. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so I think, like, that was for me, like, the authenticity of, like, man, whoever did this, mm-hmm. like, they clearly were a fan. They clearly, like, and I guess that's the thing with Community. Like, when they would do all the different episodes, and I can't think off the top of my head, but the different themed episodes in that,
yeah.
like you could tell like someone, whether it was the writer, whether it was someone on the production team, someone was a fan of that genre or mm-hmm. that, because the detail that went into it. And that to me is what, like, I was like, man, this is great. This is great.
Yeah.
it just made me smile.
That's great. So I hope you had some time to think about this next question. So, yeah. you know, if you were to have like a mental breakdown, like Jeff and G.I. Jeff or Abed and Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, and I think there was like in season 4, Abed yeah. had like the Greendale babies thing. Like, what would your fictional world like look like?
For me, it's going to be animated. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's going to be completely animated. And for me, like, it's going to probably honestly just because like it totally like in like enveloped my world. To me, I'm waking up and I'm waking up in the sewer around the Ninja Turtles, and it's like I'm eating pizza
uh-huh.
and you know what I mean, and it's like, all right, we're you know, riding our skateboards, I got these ninjas that like just take a couple hits and they kind of like fall down and they're good to go. Like, it is absolutely like it's going to be an animated world. That's mm-hmm. where my mental breakdown's happening. I'm talking to like life-size, you know, turtles. It's yeah. I mean, that's probably either that or like I'm gonna wake up and I'm like a professional wrestler in the late 80s with face paint and uh-huh. like, I mean, those are the worlds I'm waking up in. I can already tell you.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, I remember seeing some episodes of Ninja Turtles, my most memories of them was like the movies. And then there is this game at this Hollywood Park where you would put like the little golf balls in. And for some reason they gave like the most tickets from that one. So I would like always play, and they play like the Ninja Turtle song as you're like putting.
Oh my gosh. I still have like 5 or 6 VHS tapes, right? Their episodes. And I mean, you want to talk about, like a product, right? Like mm-hmm. the shows being commercials for products. My goodness, the action figures and the posters. I mean, those, the Ninja Turtle, like that whole, whatever you want to call it, like company, whatever. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. whew, they were marketing that thing like crazy. And I was just the perfect age where I was gobbling it up left and right. Yeah. So I have a feeling that's what I would wake up as.
Yeah.
I'd be waking up there in that world, and I would be totally comfortable in it because I would say, yeah, this is what I am needed. Like, I don't know what it was like about like karate, right? Mm-hmm. Like my biggest regret as a kid was my mom never got me into karate classes, but like something about that time in my life between mm-hmm. the Ninja Turtles and then like Jean-Claude Van Damme, the movie actor, like karate. It was mm-hmm. all about karate. And it was like, man, if I ever get in a fight, I need to know how to kick someone, because clearly that's what happens when you get in mm-hmm. fights. It's all about kicking and spinning. And man, that time period, like American like boys were like just getting hit over the head that like being a ninja, learning karate is the most important thing in your life at that moment. I don't know.
So like, was your mind blown when, cause I'm sure you know this as a fan, that like the voice of Shredder was the late James Avery from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh yeah. Totally.
So like now when I see him and things, like I can hear the Shredder, I'm like, wow, how did I not know that?
Yeah. Well, that whole thing, like just the voice actors in general, like blows my mind. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when you see who they are and then you go back and watch the cartoon, you're like, that guy's really making that voice. Right. Like that person's really making that voice. Cause like it's same with like radio. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when you see a radio DJ, a talk show DJ in real life, you're like, that's not who I had.
Yeah.
Here. Like it's like, it like ruins the, it's like the Wizard of Oz. Right. You see behind the curtain, you're like, ah, oh, nah. Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah. So we're coming towards like the end, but like just from, and I kind of realized this before talking to you, but just like your style, your leadership style, it reminds me of like the servant leadership style. And like I learned like a lot about that like in grad school, because like my degree in grad school is in public service management, and just like how you are valuing just all of the different stakeholders, not just the kids, but the teachers too. And it's just like, and not just the teachers, it's like supportive staff in all the different areas. And I think it just kind of helps the community go well. And then just how like your whole thing about Ego Nation, like when you say it, it's like, I feel it. It's like Ego Nation. It's just like, yes. I'm like, yes, we're eagles. And I think that's like a good, like business, like good businesses, like they do that. They kind of like create like a story or a legend, and they just kind of like move in that world. And like, this is who we are, and this is how we're going to do that. And I just want to say, like, I just think you're a great educator, and I really do like, you know, appreciate like what you do. And like, everyone has like, you know, really great things to say about you. And again, just like, I'm just so happy that you agreed to do this.
No, this is awesome. I love like just like talking about this stuff. Like seriously, mm-hmm. like it's like, I really honestly is like someone that loves creativity, someone that still daydreams clearly, is still mm-hmm. constantly like creating things. Like, I love, this is great. I love talking about this kind of stuff. Yeah. So I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah. And like, I was telling Caitlin, I'm like, if you ever want to be like the dean and like, be like, do a daylight savings day with like, it's time to Tina Turner, the clocks around. I will come with a Tina Turner outfit, and I don't know if the kids will get it, but it's okay. Like, I'll sign up for that.
That's so hilarious. That's awesome.
So like, was there anything that you wanted to promote? And it could be like something that you're doing or a book or a cause or anything like that.
No, not really. Just, you know, I really always encourage people like to really truly feel what we're trying to do. Just, you know, the social media outlets that we do have through Evans Junior High School. Like, I have my own Twitter account I do have that. But I don't use it as much right now. I have my own Instagram account. And I have teachers that are constantly on me like, how come you're not promoting what you're doing on that? Mm-hmm. Time, right? It's all about time. So like at some point I want to try to utilize, you know, it's at Mr. McGraw on Instagram. I do want to kind of get more of what I'm doing for the school, but also from that leadership style, what you're talking about, like that leadership perspective. So less like promoting it for the entire school, but more like, hey, me as Chris McGraw, these are some things that I do as a principal. Mm-hmm. But really just through Evans, like I just always promote, like I want people to check it out. I want people to kind of touch base with it, see what we're doing, because it is authentic and it's real and hopefully it's fun. You know, and again, like just I have so much fun like creating the content, trying to drop little, like you saw with the announcements, little things here mm-hmm. or there that maybe are just kind of nods to like nostalgia or just like goofy little things, you know, I'll drop things in. My favorite thing is like when I take a screenshot of something, you know, just for whatever it might be for families, like mm-hmm. I'll always like try to like throw something in the search bar or like an open tab that's like just kind of goofy and silly. And yeah. I always love to see if someone catches it. And, you know, I'll have students come up and be like, did you know you had this tab open? Thinking like somehow I like, you know, mm-hmm. got busted. But anyways, like, yeah, I would just encourage people to check us out through mm-hmm. Evans Junior High School, through all the social media we have, because it is a team effort and it's awesome. I mean, I think we really try hard to make it a special place for families and kids, but mm-hmm. also staff. So I just appreciate anything you can do to promote that.
Yeah. And I can't believe I didn't write this down, but you are up for an award. Like, yeah. I saw that. Like, tell us about that.
Yeah. Pretty neat. So the Illinois Principals Association has different regions throughout the state of Illinois. And every year they nominate a principal in that region for their Principal of the Year. Mm-hmm. And so I was very fortunate that I got nominated and they chose me. So we'll see what happens. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I'll forever in a day be able to say like, hey, that's pretty awesome that I got nominated mm-hmm. For that. And you know, who knows, maybe it was the best costume, you know, category or something.
If you win, you'll have to do like a bit, like I'm Principal of the Year and then
But no, it's super humbling, and it's a tag team effort. I mean, it's mm-hmm. I like, if I didn't have the leeway and the trust to do what I do, right, and that comes from families believing in me and staff believing in me, none of it's possible. So, like, I'm just super appreciative to the amazing people I'm surrounded by that kind of inspire me and allow me to do my thing. So, thanks. Yeah.
Okay. So, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. You can look me up on Facebook, Quirky Pop, Twitter, and Instagram. And I recently got a website. I have my first blog post talking a little bit more about my first episode on The Little Mermaid and just why I'm an aerialapologist. So check that out.
Awesome.
And we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.